Grace and mercy and peace be unto you, from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Can you imagine a total stranger coming up to you, sticking his fingers in your ears, and spitting and then touching your tongue? And your own friends brought you to this guy. It wasn't quite what the people had in mind when they brought their friend to Jesus. All they asked for was for Jesus to place his hand on him and to bless him. And here Jesus goes, sticking his fingers in the man's ears, spitting on his tongue. That's what Jesus wants to do with us here this morning. He wants to stick his word into our ears. He wants to loosen the tongues to sing and to speak his name, his praise. The one who does all things well wants to do all things well with us, too. St. Mark doesn't tell us anything about this man whose ears and tongues didn't work. In fact, we don't even hear his name. He was one of the many hearing impaired, one of the many living in silence, struggling daily to communicate with people whose ears did work. He never heard the sound of laughter or music or God's word. He also spoke with great difficulty. Even the most casual of conversations was a struggle. He came from the region of the Decapolis, the 10 cities in the Gentile territory. 10 relatively no-name towns across the Sea of Galilee. This was not the sort of place that you would have expected a proper Jewish Messiah to make an appearance. But then Jesus never really did fit anyone's profile of a proper Jewish Messiah. The Decapolis was the same place where Jesus had cast a legion of demons out from a man into a herd of pigs, who then subsequently jumped off a cliff into the sea. And the people of that region, if you remember, weren't too fond of that sort of thing going on in their community. And so after all of that, they asked Jesus and his disciples just to leave. But word had spread about Jesus' power over demons and disease. And so the next time that he showed up in the area, some people actually sought him out. That's how Jesus and the man whose ears and tongue did not work got together. Some friends believed enough about Jesus to bring their friend. Today, we call that evangelism. And we assign it to task forces and committees. We talk a lot about it, about how we should always be doing more of it. But what it boils down to in the end is simply this: bringing people that you know to Jesus to have him bless them. Really isn't any more complicated than that. Won't you please lay a hand on our friend? His ears and tongue don't work. We heard what you did with the demons, so we figured that you might be able to help him. Jesus takes the man aside, away from the crowds. He's not making a show of this. This is not for the TV and the tabloids. Jesus never sought celebrity, and he doesn't use the misfortune of others to draw attention to himself. He is completely there in the moment for that man who could not hear or speak. The man has Jesus' undivided attention. Jesus uses a bit of sign language. He reaches out to him in a way that acknowledges his personality, hits him personally. Jesus reaches out to the man where he was and deals with him in his language. Jesus takes his fingers and he sticks them in the man's ears. Then he spits on his fingers and touches the man's tongue. He touches what is broken with the Creator's touch. The good physician is at work. He is hands-on, not distant and removed. When Jesus touched someone, they were touched by the hands of God. God is a hands-on God who stepped down from his glory in heaven to step into our human flesh, to dwell among us and touch us through his own humanity. Fingers in the ears, spitting and grabbing the tongue. He is a God who deals with us as the human creatures that we are. God deals with us as the grubby, ordinary, earthy, everyday way of our human existence. When Jesus stuck his fingers into that man's ears, he did so with the fingers of God. When he touched the man's tongue, it was God touching his tongue. Jesus looked upward to heaven. That's where your help comes from, he was saying to the man. Your help comes from God, and I have come to bring God to you. Jesus is our go-between, the mediator between God and man. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. He touches us with God's touch. Jesus sighs. He groans. He knows how deep the brokenness is, and he knows what price he will have to pay to fix it. He knows the cost of this healing, cross and his death. Jesus knows our human suffering and sorrow. He knows our weakness. When he groans on our behalf, they are the very same groanings with which the Holy Spirit prays for us in our weakness. Finally, Jesus speaks a word. St. Mark gives us the Aramaic original, "Ephphatha," be opened, be released. Jesus wasn't simply speaking to his ears. He was speaking to the whole man. Be released from your bondage. Be free. Jesus was releasing him from everything that held him bound and captive. Be released. Jesus came to proclaim release to the captives, to those who are bound in sin and death. To them he came to speak a liberating word. The word of Jesus is living and active, spirit and life. His words fall on deaf ears and cause them to hear. His words fall on mute tongues and cause them to speak. At the sound of Jesus' word, "Ephphatha," the man's ears could hear and his tongue was freed, and he spoke plainly and clearly. Now, Mark doesn't tell us what he said. The attention is always on Jesus, not on the miracles or on those who receive them, but Jesus. All we hear is that he spoke plainly and coherently. His ears were opened and his tongue was loosed. And then Jesus ordered everyone there not to speak, which is a bit ironic since he just loosened a man's tongue. The man can now speak clearly And yet Jesus puts a gag order on him and the others around. Jesus doesn't want to be known as a wonder worker. If all that the people saw in Jesus was a cure for their temporal problems, an ear and tongue specialist, then they missed the point. If all we see in Jesus is quick therapy, then we miss the point. The Apostle Paul said that if our hope is in Christ only for this life, if all we look to Jesus for is a quick solution to our problems today, then we are of all people most to be pitied. There was more to Jesus than miracles. The miracles were signs that God had come to touch us. Isaiah had spoken of it centuries before when he said, "Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like the agile deer. Mute tongues will shout for joy. Water will gush forth from the dry wilderness. Streams of water in the desert. Burning sand will break out in bubbling springs." God came in Jesus Christ. He came to save us by absorbing into himself all the sin and evil and brokenness, all that had gone wrong with us, all that had come into creation because of the fall. He came to take up our sicknesses and our disease into his own body, to battle the demons that darken our lives, to take up the devastation that crushes us. He came to free us from everything that binds us, that imprisons us, that keeps us from being God's free children. He came to unchain us from sin, from death, from the devil. He came to bring in a new creation with his own dying and rising. A new creation in which blind eyes see and mute tongues speak, the lame leap and water flows from the dry desert places. That's why Jesus didn't want anyone to say anything about what had happened. It was too small, too soon. There was much more of Jesus yet to come. His death on the cross, his open, empty tomb, his ascension to glory, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Then his disciples would speak, then, openly and plainly. But yet the people of the Decapolis went out anyway and told everyone what had happened. The more Jesus tried to quiet them, the more they spoke. People were overwhelmed at the power of Jesus' words. With a simple word, Jesus did what no man can do. And yet he did it in such a human way. Through his humanity came the power of God to save, to set free, to release from bondage. And the people just had to talk about it. "He has done all things well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." We have even more to speak of about Jesus than they did. Greater things even than making ears work and tongues function again. Jesus has died for us. He has risen from the dead for us. And he reigns over all things for us. He lords his death and his resurrection over our sin and death. That's something to talk about, don't you think? He has said, "Ephphatha," be released to us in our baptisms. He's opened our ears to his word. He's anointed our tongues to sing his praise and to pray to him and to proclaim him. And he continues to put that forgiveness into our ears. his body and his blood on our tongues, his word in our minds and our hearts. In that same earthy, incarnate way of fingers and ears and spit on tongues. He's the one who opens ears. He loosens tongues. He forgives sinners. He raises the dead. He gives eternal life. He does everything well. Trust him to do everything well with you. Amen.